Everybody loves a birthday. We celebrate them on a regular basis. Even though some may no longer admit to their birthdays, they may secretly enjoy the attention they receive. We enjoy our children's birthdays. Some of us even enjoy our grandchildren's or great-grandchildren's birthdays. In the academies of my various ministries, the children liked to celebrate their birthdays at school. We would sing happy birthday to them and would then help them enjoy a treat the mother had sent to school for them. Are you aware that older people enjoy their birthdays also? You find somebody who's up in the ages of 85 to 90 or more, and they'll be happy to tell you how old they are without your even asking. Some can't wait to tell you how old they are. Some birthdays are extra special. Wasn't the 13th birthday special? I was no longer a child. I was now a teenager. What an accomplishment. The 16th birthday was also one we really looked forward to, because when we turned 16, we could get our driver's licenses. Now, I know different states have different laws relating to the minimum age for obtaining a driver's license, but where we grew up, it was 16. I remember getting my driver's license on the day of my 16th birthday. I was free. I could drive. Then we used to look forward to our 21st birthdays because it meant that we would be legally of age and would have the right to vote. Now it's the 18th birthday and they don't know anything more than we did then. Some of us even thought the 21st birthday would mean that our parents could no longer boss us around. But it didn't necessarily work out that way. My father still thought he had control over me, and it's probably a good thing he did. You know, the Bible has some things to say about birthdays also. And in this message, I want to consider five amazing births discussed in the Bible. Can you think of all five of them? Well, in about 2 hours, when I finish, you should be able to think of them. The first birth we find in the scriptures is a birth involving neither a human father nor a human mother. That does seem different to us, doesn't it? We read about it in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 7 of Genesis 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Adam did not have a human father or a human mother. God used no human being when he brought Adam into being. The second birth we find in the scriptures is a birth involving no human mother. We read about it starting in Genesis 2:18 and going through verse 23. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. That's God's opinion. God said, I will make him an help meet. It means a help suitable for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet, meaning a help suitable for him. We don't have any way of knowing how long Adam existed before he had Eve, do we? Might not have been that long. On the other hand, it might have been quite a number of years. We have no way of knowing. Anyway, the Lord God, in verse 21, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. God did surgery on Adam. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead there. I wonder if he ended up with a scar. I don't know. If you've had chest surgery, you know that there's a scar that's liable to be there when they're all done with it. Anyway, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Adam had never previously seen a woman. You know why, don't you? Because there wasn't any. What do you suppose was his reaction? What do you suppose his eyes did? You suppose they went, I don't know what they did. I'm certain he was amazed at what God had made for him. Aren't we men amazed at what God has made for us? Of course we are. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Now that is not woe, man. That's not what the Hebrew word is. It's isha, all right? We don't want to get our English confused with our Hebrew. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Here God used only a man when he brought Eve into being. She had no human mother. The third birth we find in the scriptures is a birth involving both a human father and a human mother. We read about this in Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And Genesis 4:1 we read, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Notice she was wise enough to realize that the child came from the Lord. When people murder their babies, they're killing something that God has given them. We read about this in Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Lo, it's another word meaning behold. The children are an heritage, meaning a gift of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. So why do people complain about having another child or having too many children? We're thankful for the children that God has given us, aren't we? as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, that's a warrior, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. I wonder if I were going into battle and I had a quiver containing arrows. How many arrows do you suppose I would want to have with me? One? Probably not just one. Two? Probably not just two. I'd want the whole thing stuffed full of arrows because I was intending on using them. We are pleased that God gives us children. Some children are only given as single children in homes. Some are given as part of much larger numbers. We are thankful for every one the Lord gave to us. What a blessing. They are God's heritage. They are God's gift to us as parents. They are the fruit of the wife's womb, but they're the fruit of the love of the mother and the father. And they are his reward. Isn't it great to be rewarded by the Lord? God used both a man and a woman when he brought you into being. You had both a human father and a human mother. You weren't an accident. You were a gift from God. God is the one who gave conception. God is the one who gave birth to that child. Well, so far we've seen in the scriptures a birth involving neither a man nor a woman. We've also seen a birth involving only a man, but without involving a woman. And we've also seen many births involving both a man and a woman. But when Christmas time rolls around, the fourth birth we find in the scriptures is a birth involving no human father. We see its prediction in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin. You know, a virgin is one who's never had a sexual relationship with a man. Shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Not only was the conception a virgin conception, but so was the birth, a virgin birth. We see its announcement in Luke 1:26 and following. And in the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. You know, she was pregnant with John the Baptist. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Why did he go to Nazareth? Because there was a particular young lady there that was going to give birth to the Messiah eventually. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail! What does that mean? Greetings. He said hello to her. Greetings. Thou that art highly favored. That's an interesting way for somebody to talk to you, isn't it? Well, some of you are indeed highly favored, but she was highly favored in a particular way as no other woman ever was. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. She was a little disturbed and cast in her mind. She was considering, or she kept pondering, what manner of salutation or what manner of greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. Stop fearing, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, meaning the Son of God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, which means he will be the Messiah. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, that's another way of saying Israel, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now Mary was mature enough. We don't know how old she was. She may not have been more than 15 or so. She knew that a man was typically involved in a pregnancy. Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's asking, how's God going to bring this to pass? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You may not be aware that any time you see Son of in the Jewish thinking at that time, it meant that the word following the words Son of indicates a chief characteristic of that person. So James and John were sons of thunder. Jesus was the Son of God, meaning he was God. Mary understood this. She was a good Jewish girl. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. I wonder how old she was. And we don't have any way of knowing, but she was believed by her husband to be beyond the childbearing years. She was called barren. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. God wants you to do something. He's able to make you able to do it, isn't he? How thankful we are that we have a God with whom nothing is impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So she knows that she's going to have a baby. We see its fulfillment in Matthew 1:18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, they were not living together. They were not sexually involved either. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You have to realize that she's already been to Elizabeth and spent 3 months with Elizabeth. Was she 3 months pregnant by the time Joseph and she met up back in Nazareth? My guess is that she was. Can you imagine what Joseph thought when he saw her? And she was obviously expecting a baby. It would have been very disturbing to him because he thought she was a virgin. But immediately his reaction had to be that she has been unfaithful. And he's considering divorcing her. She was found with child. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a righteous man, not willing to make her a public example. He wasn't willing to take her to the rulers in the gate and have her stoned. He was minded to put her away privily, meaning to divorce her secretly. But while he thought on these things, he's trying to figure out what to do. What would you do if that were you and you found out your fiancé was expecting a baby and you knew you weren't the father of it, wouldn't that kind of throw a big damper on your plans for marrying that young lady? But the angel straightened him out in his thinking. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. He's a direct descendant of David. Fear not, do not begin to fear to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus is the same name as Joshua in the Old Testament. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted or translated is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden or had commanded him, and took unto him his wife. Typically, the man would not marry, actually take the wife, the betrothed wife, unto him for a full year. But now he's taking her earlier than the normal time. You know what that would say to people in the community, okay? He knew her not, means no physical relation with her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. She would have other children later on. And he called his name Jesus, just like he was told to do. We see also its purpose in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. God the Holy Spirit was responsible for Mary's conceiving Jesus in her womb. Jesus had a human mother but did not have a human father. Now why? Well, inasmuch as the sin nature is passed down through the Father, it was necessary that Jesus be born of a virgin rather than being fathered by a human being. He had no sin nature because he had no human father. He was without sin throughout his entire earthly life, not only in his nature, but also in his practice. And as a result, he was able to pay for our sins because he was the sinless Son of God and did not have to pay for his own sins like we would have to do. We see its celebration on Christmas Day as we remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, we see the fifth birth. It is the new birth. It is a spiritual birth. You're fairly familiar with John 3:1-7. I'm sure there's at least one thing in here I'm going to tell you this morning that you're not aware of, but take it from me, it's the case. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same, meaning he, came to Jesus by night, at nighttime. He didn't want people knowing he was going to Jesus. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, people who don't read Greek do not realize that the Greek text indicates that this question is expecting a negative answer, not a positive one. And they fail to preach it correctly. It is, he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And it assumes, no, he can't. He wasn't ignorant of this. He knew it wasn't possible. Nicodemus knew this, but he did not know how he could experience this second birth. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." Now, born of water does not have anything to do with baptism. Born of water and born of the flesh are the same thing. Both speak of physical birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It speaks of a second birth, a spiritual one. Marvel not that I said unto thee, remember the difference between you singular and you plural in the King James Bible? If it starts with T, like thee, it's you singular. If it starts with Y, like ye, it's you plural. But every modern version translates both thee and ye with you, and you don't know, if you read a modern version, what the meaning of this verse is. Marvel not that I said unto you, singular, Nicodemus, you plural, you Jewish people, must be born again. That is, you must be born a second time. Everybody has already had a physical birth. But to enter the kingdom of God, they also need to have a spiritual birth in addition to their physical birth. Jesus answers in John 3:16 the question that Nicodemus asked of how someone can be born a second time, that is, how he can experience a spiritual birth that God requires for someone to enter the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world, that includes you and me, doesn't it? That he gave his only begotten Son. Well, that sounds very much like Jesus, doesn't it? Gave him not only to come into the world, but he gave him to die on the cross, where he paid for our sins. That whosoever sounds very much like everybody who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how one gets this spiritual birth. It is by believing that Jesus, God the Son, died on the cross and paid for our sins and then rose again from the dead. And when we believe that, we put our trust in that instead of in how many good things we can do for God or society. He forgives our sin and gives us eternal life. In other words, he saves us. John 1:11-13 answers the same question. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, all of those who received him, to them gave he power, meaning he gave the right to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, they receive him by trusting in who he is and what he represents. He's God the Son, the perfect, spotless Son of God who shed his blood on Calvary to pay for the sins of all humanity, which includes us, and then was raised from the dead. These people are born not of blood, In other words, it's not something that they're descended from their parents, you know, had nothing to do with it, nor the will of the flesh. Your old sin nature won't want this, nor the will of man, but we're born of God. Did you know that all five of these births were miraculous? Oh, I know people would not accept that. They think that natural physical birth is not miraculous. They're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. God created Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That was a miracle. God created Eve out of one of Adam's ribs. That was a miracle. God created you using your father and your mother, but his bringing you into existence was just as miraculous as his creation of Adam and Eve. God the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary and Jesus. God the Son was conceived as a human being in her womb. Of course, the new birth is also miraculous. God causes those who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior to be born again a second time. It's a second birth, a spiritual birth in which we receive new, sinless, Christ-like natures. So I ask, have you, as an individual, received this new birth? That's the same thing as asking, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin and its consequences? If you're not sure about this, or if you know the answer is no, please come see me after the service. I'd love to talk with you. We'll have a few minutes and you can make an appointment with me, because after the service we have an annual business meeting, which we all just love the idea of. That's all right. We'll get through it all right. Come see me, or come see somebody else. Let us show you how you can be certain that your sins have been forgiven, and that when you leave this world, you'll end up in heaven instead of in the lake of fire. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this privilege of studying thy word. Help us to understand it and to apply its truths to our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.